Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. Today we'll conclude our series on the fruit of the Spirit. So we're on number 9 today as we look at self-control. So how are we doing when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit? How are you doing when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit? Are you allowing the Spirit to produce His fruit in your life? Hopefully you are. Have you ever wondered why self-control is last? Have you ever wondered that? I know why love is first. It's the greatest virtue, but why is self-control last? Well, without self-control, you don't have what it takes to allow the Spirit of God to produce His fruit in your life. You have to cooperate with God's Spirit. The Bible says that we can quench the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. You can hinder His work. You can prevent Him from developing this fruit in your life. And so if you don't want Him to produce it, you won't allow Him to produce it. He won't go ahead and do it without your will. You see, that God doesn't just come into our lives, kick the door down, and do whatever He wants to do. He wants us to willfully submit to Him. And so, we will learn from a negative example today how to exercise self-control. So go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 4. We're going to look at the story of Cain this morning. Cain is a good example of one who lacked self-control. Notice in Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse 3, it says, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but He did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." So as we look today at a negative example in the Bible of one who did not practice self-control, there are several things that I think we need to incorporate into our life. Number one, we need to stay alert. We need to stay alert. Look for ways where your life is maybe starting to get off course, right? And you can see it when it's happening. You just have to look for ways where you see your life is veering off the course it's supposed to be on. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." That's the reason you need to stay alert. Because if your life is getting off track, it's because of him. It's because of the devil. He will do everything he can to get your life to go in another direction. When you listen to the trembling lips of an alcoholic, for example, or the winner of The Biggest Loser, there is a single thread that runs through those examples. You know what it is? None of those people got where they were overnight. None of them. It happened over time. It happened over time. It was an ongoing lack of self-control, which started out in basically a harmless fashion. But in time, it took over. It took over. Something as simple as exercise can do this. Exercise is a good thing. I think we should exercise. I think we're better off if we exercise. But what happens when you allow it to consume you? Right? It just takes over in your life, and you don't need anything like that. A.W. Tozer says, "No man suddenly goes base." In other words, no one just falls away tomorrow. Oh, there's something leading up to that. There's been something in that person's life that's been going on for a while. And when they fall away, we shouldn't be surprised, because we've known for a long time something's going on. And that's what happens. You see, if we aren't careful, there are things in our life that can just simply spiral out of control. And one of those things could be your temper. And that's why James writes in James 1, 19 and 20, he says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So we need to be careful. We need to get a control of our anger. You need to control it. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and sin not." And so you can be angry without sinning. But this involves control. You've got to control it. And so we will see that his anger wasn't controlled. And consequently, he kills his brother because he couldn't control it. He wasn't alert to what was going on in his life. Brethren, stay alert. Examine your life. Don talked about that, I think, last Sunday. He mentioned 1 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Christ is in you, unless you be reprobates. We're supposed to examine our lives. We should do it on a regular basis. It will help us in our walk with God. The unexamined life is not worth living. Number two today, very important, search your heart. Search your heart. Notice that God is trying to get Cain to just search his own heart, to take a look on the inside and see what's going on. He says to Cain, "Cain, why are you angry?" That's supposed to cause self-reflection. That's supposed to cause him to look inside as to why is Cain so angry. So he wanted Cain to look inwardly. You see, God accepts Abel's sacrifice. He rejects Cain's sacrifice, and Cain didn't like it. He was angry. If Cain would have searched his own heart, he would have known that he had no basis for his anger. All he had to do was examine his heart, do what God said, and say, "Why are you angry, Cain?" Because he didn't have a good reason to be angry. He brings to God something God never told him to bring to him. Abel brings the right offering, but Cain does not. Cain knew what to bring. He simply didn't bring it. And so it was Cain's fault. So instead of getting a hold on his anger, he let his anger get out of control. And so many of us do this. We let our anger get out of control. We say things we regret saying. We do things we regret doing. Be careful when you're angry. Be careful. I wonder how often we respond to situations the way Cain does here. You see, by searching our hearts, one of the things we can do is come to repentance. We can come to see that what we're doing isn't right. What we're doing isn't proper, and it's wrong, and therefore we need to repent. You see, we generally think of the lack of self-control as these kind of people. An alcoholic, that's one who lacks self. Not me. The alcoholic lacks self-control. Or a drug addict. Or gluttons, or one who lusts. We have to be careful. But we think these are the people who lack self-control. I don't lack self-control. No, many of us lack self-control. And we need to get a hold on our lives. And we make excuses for why we do certain things rather than being honest, and searching our hearts like God wants us to, and coming to repentance when we need to. Many times what we're doing isn't bad, but it consumes us. Going back to the exercise illustration, nothing wrong with exercising, but if it consumes you, it's all you think about doing, it's all you want to do, then your focus is on the material and no longer the spiritual. So in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, we read, God says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? Absolutely He will. But if you do not well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. You see, we need to understand that sin is always crouching at the door. It's always there. It's ready to pounce at any moment. Any moment. Just lack self-control and watch it pounce upon you. Without self-control, we get into trouble. We simply get into trouble. We need to learn to exercise self-control. And then a very important point in this is obey God's warnings. Obey God's warnings. Obedience to God. You see, life comes down to our will to obey. That's what really life comes down to when you think about it. Our will to obey God. God warns Cain about his sin. Will Cain heed the warning? No. No, he will not heed the warning. Before we sin, God always warns us. He always warns us. Maybe it's a friend who comes by and says, you know, I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you. I saw the other day, you got a 12-pack of beer from the store. I'm worried about you. Oh, I was going through a hard time at that time, but everything's good now. I'm okay. No, that friend that God sent your way was a warning. And we need to heed God's warnings when they come. You toy with gambling. And then over time, it consumes you. It was just a small thing, but lack of self-control, it just took over your life. There was a good friend in Iowa that I worked with and studied with, held Bible studies in his home. His name is Jim. And Jim, he retired from John Deere. He had a good job. He had a good retirement. But Jim had a relationship with a woman that got him into gambling. And they would go to casinos. I didn't know about it at first. I found out later. But to make a long story short, Jim spent his entire life savings on gambling. He spent it all. He lost his home. I mean, his 401k, he drained all over gambling. My ship's going to come in today. That's what every gambler thinks. That's how they get your money. You believe your ship's going to come in. Well, your ship ain't going to come in. That's a rare thing. But gambling can take over your wife. Maybe a wife forgives you for your fits of rage. And again, self-control. Got to get a hold on that. There's no excuse for fits of rage if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Maybe a boss forgives you and you think, man, I dodged a bullet here. Don't you see these warnings? Don't you see the warnings? God always sends warnings before sin happens in our life. You see, God wants us to learn the easy way, not the hard way. Growing up, I learned the hard way most of my life. That is not a fun way to learn. The easy way is a better way to learn, not the hard way. The school of hard knocks, man, is tough. It's tough. But so many, that's the direction they want to go. Right? They're going to learn from the school of hard knocks. Well, God doesn't will that for your life. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, it says, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." Think about that. Vulnerable, open. And that's the way your life is. Self-control is learning to live in the boundaries that God has set. In His Word, God has given us boundaries. And He wants us to live our lives within those boundaries, to not go outside of those boundaries. When we go outside of the boundaries, we get into trouble. Our life gets messed up. Many falsely think that God is more interested in their happiness than He is their holiness. And they are wrong. Because God is more interested in your holiness than He is your happiness. A lot of people think, God wants me to be happy. Where in the Bible does it say God wants you to be happy? Now, I don't think God wants you to be miserable. Right? But there's this emphasis on God wants me happy. God wants me. Who says God wants you happy? God wants you holy. That He says, clearly states. He never says, I want you happy, like that. God never states that. Now, God wants the best for us, obviously. But we misunderstand God's will for our lives. You cannot live a life without bounds. Someday your lack of self-control is going to get you into some serious trouble. Some more than others. Understand that you're in a spiritual battle and the stakes are high. They're high. They're extremely high. Cain ignored the warnings. Look at verse 8. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Okay. He didn't heed the warnings. God warned him. Cain, what are you angry about? Cain wasn't interested in searching his heart. Verse 9 says, "And then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, by the way, yes you are. Yes you are. All of us are our brother's keeper. Number 4, consider the consequences. Now, all these things are going to help us to exercise self-control. Consider the consequences. Cain didn't even think of the consequences. Didn't dwell on them, didn't consider them, didn't enter his mind. Look at verses 10 through 12. "And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now, you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." You see, there were consequences. Consequences to Cain's sin. Consequences, serious consequences. And so we need to fast forward our lives asking the question, what will my life look like if I continue in this behavior? It's always a good thing to do. Just fast forward. If I continue in this behavior I'm in, what's my life going to look like? 6 months from now, a year from now, 5 years from now, what will my family look like? What will my career look like? Look what Cain did. murdered his brother. He wiped out the line of Abel. That righteous, godly line wiped it out. And so God gave him another son, right? Seth. And he picked up that righteous line. I mean, so he wiped out this godly line. He broke his mom and dad's heart, right? Killed his brother. A life that doesn't have self-control can mark you forever. It can mark you forever. What do you mean? Felon. Adulterer. Drunk. Thief. Drug addict. You see, a life of lacking self-control can mark you forever. But here's an important thing. My life will be as good as the choices I make. If you want to have a good life, make good choices. It's really that simple. Think about it. If I make a series of good choices, there's good outcomes, good consequences. And if I keep doing that, then I keep having these good consequences. But when I make a bad choice, well, then here comes the bad consequences. So we need to make good choices, good decisions. The essence of sin is one substituting himself for God. And the essence of salvation is God substituting himself for man. What a God. What a Savior. And so this morning, I think if we stay alert, search our hearts, obey God's warnings, and consider the consequences, I think we'll do better when it comes to self-control in our lives. And all of us need to exercise self-control. Very, very important fruit. Very important fruit. Your life will not be complete without self-control. So are you allowing God's Spirit to produce His fruit in you? Are you hindering Him? Are you just strong-willed and you're going to do what you're going to do no matter what? Because sometimes that's the way we are. I know what God wants, but I also know what I want. And I'm going to do what I want. That's the way so many live. That's the way Israel lived in the Bible. And we saw the outcome and the consequence. And so this morning, I urge you, allow God to produce this very important fruit in your life, self-control. It will help you in so many things. It will help you with sin. It will help you be a godly person. But you'll never be godly without it. I guarantee it. And for those of you who don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that God created man, man's sin, and as a result of his sin, he's separated from God. He's lost. He's dead. Ephesians 2:1, those who are in sin are said to be dead. That is, they're cut off from the source of life, who is God. They don't have a relationship with God. They've been cut off from God. But Jesus came into the world, died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. That is the good news of the gospel. It's because of what Jesus did, our sin can be forgiven. And we can become part of the family of God. It's an amazing thing, and it's a wonderful thing. If you don't have a relationship with God this morning through His Son, Jesus Christ, we want to urge you to come to Christ. Jesus said in John 8:24 that if you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, you will die lost. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And so He's the way. We urge you to come to Him. Or if you have any other need this morning and you need prayer, come and let us pray with you as we sing.